Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to Throwback Paperback. I'm one of your hosts, Charles Sheeland.
And I'm the other host, Asia Bonilla. And today we are finishing book three of The Ugly Series by Scott Westerfeld, which is Specials. And this book finishes the main tally arc, so there's a lot of tension and stuff to be resolved, though there is going to be one more book after this, which is Extras, and we still think it's going to be connected to the world, just not necessarily following Tally, our main character.
And this week, obviously, like, as the end of the tally arc, or, like, the main end of the tally arc, full of twists and turns, as per usual. For anyone who's new to our show, we're a podcast with the Nerd Party Network. We're best friends, and we read and reread YA books from our adolescence and share them with each other. As I always say, we alternate generally between series, though neither of us had read these ones, and just looking ahead at what we're reading next, we have some really big treats ahead that also neither of us have read. So, you know, we're both experiencing these books for the first time with you.
This series is actually new to the both of us, so we're both reading it for the first time, and we're both, I think, seem to really be enjoying it.
Yeah, I've enjoyed them. So I don't want to get too much into, like, the final reveal stuff right now, because I want to talk about them, like, live with you. But essentially, Tally arrives in Diego, which is the liberated city that the Smokies are in. And they don't give people the lesions or brainwashing. So it's very different than her city. Then Dr. Cable declares war on Diego because she can blame Tally and Shay's attack in the last reading on Diego. Meanwhile, all the cutters except Tally have been cured by Maddie's new cure. So Tally decides to go turn herself in to Dr. Cable to finish the war. And, you know, I'm not going to get too much into it, but they do successfully avert the war, but Zane does actually die in the process. So, let's save that for when we get to it. I feel like the ending was a bit of a twist, but, like, I don't know if twist is the right word, because it wasn't, like, a dramatic. It was just, like, unexpected, and maybe a little lame, but we'll see.
Lame, I think, is the right word.
Okay, well, let's see when we get to it. I feel like this is it's a hard plane to land. And I was I mentioned this a couple episodes ago, that I met up with a friend who'd read these books when they were coming out, and she's like, I honestly don't even remember if I finished them. And we were talking about, like, Divergent and Hunger Games and other sort of dystopian things that we've covered on the show, and she's like, you know, I don't even know if I ever finished the Divergent books because she was like, oh, I love those. And I was like, we read them for our show, and, like, we thought the first one was fine, but, like, we felt like the ending really ruined it. And she's like, I honestly don't even remember if I finished them, but, like, it's kind of hard to land the ending with dystopia. And, like, besides Hunger Games, I mean, I think that The City of Ember did a really good job, but, like, that was for a younger audience. But, like, if you think about, like, sort of the teen dystopian books we've read, I think that besides The Hunger Games, they've kind of botched the landing a little bit. Am I forgetting one?
No, I think that makes sense, because The Maze Runner matched. I feel like The Hunger Games, why it worked was because, one, she didn't kill any of our main characters that you were emotionally connected to. But she still killed characters, so, like, she still, like, took risks. But then also at the end of the series, like, there's hope. There's hope for the new future, whereas I feel like how other books have ended, whether they give hope or not, even if, like, not saying that they have to go into detail about what's going to be the future of, like, the new society or, like, whatever's come out of the war, whatever they were dealing with in the dystopian society. But I feel like The Hunger Games just was really able to, like, it felt like a happy ending. Like, we didn't need to know what happened later because I felt satisfied. Because I feel like a lot of the other series weren't able to get that, like, correctly.
Yeah, I don't know if we've talked about this on the show. Let me save this for the end. But I have thoughts that are kind of related to what you're saying about The Hunger Games. But I want to talk about it at the end when we talk about the ending.
Well, Don't skip me.
What about your impression?
I was going to say, my impression is, I mean, like I said, I think we've both really been enjoying this series. But I will say, like, Charles, I think that this ending did seem kind of lame, which is why I am, like, grateful that there's another book. Because, like, when I talked about in the intro on our first episode for Uglies, originally this was supposed to be a trilogy, but then Scott Westfeld just decided to, like, write another book. And I think it's because, I mean, at least for me, I feel like the series feels unfinished because, I mean, one, everything kind of happens really quickly. I mean, you'll see as we start to go through the plot, pretty much like this lead up to this war all happens within the second half of this book. So that's only like 20, 25 chapters. Whereas, again, we're comparing, you know, to the golden standard, The Hunger Games, like the war takes up a whole book. And I mean, there's a lot of growing tension to that war, even in the second book. So
even
I just
in the first
feel
book,
like,
you know, like,
it's just, I mean, it's from the beginning being set up, yeah. Whereas I feel like this idea of a war was not really set up until right now. So it's just like not enough build up time to like make sense. So again, I'm not saying it was a horrible ending or I didn't like it, but I think that it makes sense to me why there's a fourth book. Like that to me absolutely makes sense.
Okay, well, we'll see when we get to it. So diving in. The city that Tally has landed in has a lot more diversity and options for expression. So we find out the city is called Diego, which I found was a little disorienting for a while. I was like, why are we calling Diego
just
a place?
Random.
But whatever. Also, like, I'm ruined by thinking, like, go Diego, go, you know.
Well, also when the other place is called New Pretty Town, like.
And then this is.
Just
and
random.
And this is go Diego, go. So. It seems like people don't have the lesions or people are just like allowed to be themselves. So it's obviously very disorienting for Tally.
Yes, which we kind of find out that basically this like new sort of system, I think is what they call it, is basically where people can kind of choose. So you can choose if you want to be like a bubblehead, which is, you know, like the pretties where like you have the lesions, you're a very agreeable person, you don't get angry, stuff like that. Or you can choose to be more aware and opinionated. So it's kind of like giving everyone, again, the right to choose, which is obviously like a progression from forcing everyone into submission.
And so Tally's on her mission there to protect and follow the Krims and Zane. Is Zane there? No, Zane is there.
Zane's a Krim, yes.
Yes, he is there. I'm getting him confused with when the other book, when he's with Maddie's people. So she's then intercepted by one of the previous cutters who I think was Fausto. Turns out that Maddie, he was the one who was caught last reading and he was cured by Maddie, which means that she's developed a cure for specials, which you predicted, I'm pretty sure, Asia, right?
Yeah.
Did you predict that she was going to come up with a cure for specials? I feel like we definitely
I don't
said
remember,
that.
But sure, let's say we did. And we discover all of this basically because the Diego authorities actually end up capturing Tally. Because basically right now how it's running in Diego is all of like the Smokies and like people who are being cured live in Diego, but like the people of Diego, like they still run the government and everything. So they're not like just letting the Smokies come in and take over. Necessarily. So the Diego authorities capture Tally and they're basically just like, she's a huge danger. Like they want to fix her body and brain because they don't have specials, which we kind of soon discover that it seems like Tally's town is one of the only places that has like specials to the level that they have them, where they're like these superhuman
Twilight vampires,
extremely dangerous Twilight vampires, like with the super serum. But so the Diego people are like, okay, well, there's no way this is legal. Like, her just existing is illegal. So we're going to have to do surgery on her to, like, fix her so that she's safe to be around other people. Which, you know, Tally was like, well, you can't, like, just operate on me. Like, there's such a thing as informed consent. Which they said for her brain, they're like, well, you have the option to have, like, your brain augmented if you want. Like, we don't have to do that. But, like, your body is a danger to others, so we have to change it. Like, we don't need your consent for that, which was crazy. But before they end up being able to operate on her, Shay, out of all people, actually comes to rescue her.
And at first I was like, girl, why? You don't like her. But then we find out that Shay has been cured. So, and so have all of the Cutters. So they, so Shay and the other Cutters were brought to Maddie. She cured them. So they have a lot, they have, the cured Cutters basically have some of their Cutter ability, or some of their special abilities, but they're not, like, they don't need to, like, stay icy, and they're not quite as capable. So, like, in a one-to-one combat now, like, Tally could take any one of them, because she's, like, mechanically still a pure special.
You know what I would compare it to, since we keep comparing it to Twilight? I would say it's like Jacob, like the werewolves when they're in their human form, because how, like, they're still pretty strong, and, like, I don't know if healing fast was still a thing, but, like, they're still pretty strong, but, like, they wouldn't be able to survive against a vampire, like, in their human form.
Sure.
So they're elevated, so above the average person, like, able to run really far, able to, like, have quick reflexes and stuff, like, compared to, like, the average pretty, but they're no longer on that special level where, like, they were a vampire.
Correct. And basically, Shay also then tells Tally that Dr. Cable is going to go to war with Diego, because she has told their city, whatever we're calling it, New Pretty Town plus Uglyville plus, you know, whatever that town is called.
Crumblyville.
Plus Crumblyville plus Special Operations.
Versus Diego.
Versus Diego.
So random. That's so random. Like, what?
Yeah. She's basically said that the attack on the armory that Shay and Tally did last time, she's blaming that on Diego, so that Dr. Cable can now attack Diego. Does that make sense? Like, she's using the attack on the armory as a deploy.
Yeah, she's using it as a reason. As a reason to basically launch the war that she's always wanted so that she can control everyone. But during this rescue mission, though, with Shay saving Tally, Shay actually does apologize to Tally. She only apologizes for turning her special, which, you know, she has a lot more to apologize than just that. But, you know, I guess we'll take what we can get. Personally, I would have liked a personal apology for even inviting her to the smoke in the first place when she didn't know what she was talking about all the way back to the beginning. But it is nice that Shay, from this point on, becomes
I would bearable. Also like an apology for every time Shay told her that Tally stole David from her, even though David literally never showed any interest in Shay ever. Like, that was
That was ridiculous. That was the most ridiculous. I can't remember honestly.
We had different examples of different love triangles, but, like, Asia and I are on a quest. If this is your first time listening to this show, Asia and I are on a quest to, if a love triangle has one person who just likes someone else, but that person has never liked them at all and does not like them, they shouldn't be considered a love triangle. They should just be considered wrong. Like,
that's not a love triangle. That's just you pining for somebody who doesn't want you.
I know, we've talked about
pathetic,
this.
Kind of pathetic, honestly.
Yes.
Well, for Shay.
But we've talked about this, and I can't remember what books we've talked about it, but, like, Asia and I famously hate love triangles, but particularly, like, I can't remember which one. It is, like, there was a series, at least, that we talked about this, like, at length, that, like, it wasn't a real love triangle. Oh, you know what? I mean, except maybe, like, Eclipse. Like, for most of Twilight, not really a love triangle. Like, she doesn't actually ever express interest in Jacob, like, until he, like, forces her to. Like, but anyway, it's not a love triangle if there's not, like, conflict in one person. Like, if you like someone and they don't like you, it's not a love triangle. You're just in the way. Sorry. Dark, but
you're just an obstacle, a barrier that has to be pushed out of the way.
That's one of the things Shay should apologize for, but whatever.
That is true. I will agree with that. But like we were just saying, so basically this whole starting the war on Diego is a direct result from Tally and Shay's actions in the last reading from last episode, where, you know, they broke into the armory, let out the nanos, and, like, completely destroyed the building. And this obviously created, or at least it gave a reason for Dr. Cable to be like, we should attack Diego because they attacked us, kind of thing. And obviously, Dr. Cable is completely against their new system and new approach to society where people kind of get to choose what they want because she wants to be able to control people, which is why they have special circumstances, because special circumstances is how they can control people when, like, force is necessary.
Yep. So then the other shoe drops. They're in Diego, and Zane is now pronounced brain dead because of the cure, ripping, like, eating off of his brain. And am I remembering that correctly?
Yeah, I mean, it happened kind of fast. It just sounds like basically they were setting him up to do surgery when, to, like, help, because, like, we had mentioned before, Zane, because of what happened with the cure, he's kind of mentally handicapped and, like, needed time to heal. So it sounded like the doctors in Diego were going to try to do some sort of operation to maybe help that or improve him. And what I got from it was, though, he was kind of being set up right when Diego was bombed by the, like, special circumstances and attacked. So he was kind of abandoned there. And, like, something basically went wrong, and, like, the nanos ended up, like, completely eating up his brain. Like, I don't know if they put new nanos in, like, in preparation for whatever they were doing.
Yes.
But it sounded like, basically, he lost, like, all his cognition, like, literally everything. Motor skills, being able to speak, like, that's why. He was definitely, like, brain dead, which they were immediately like, well, we need the bed, so he's dead. Like, we're gonna unplug him, and he's gonna die.
Yes, okay, thank you, because I couldn't quite remember. Again, I keep getting it mixed up with when, in the last book, when they got to the new smoke, and
he had the thing in the tooth?
He had the tracker in the tooth, and Maddie was like, he's all messed up because of the half the pill, and, like, he was just lying there, kind of comatose, and then he became, like, he was brought back with Tally when she became a special at the end of the last book, so thank you for clarifying, because I couldn't, like, the two moments, like, it's basically the same time frame in each book. The same thing happens to Zane. But this time now, he is dead. He's brain dead. And then he ends up being unplugged, which is kind of a dark phrase. So he is now actually fully tot.
Which, I'm obviously not happy that Zane died. But I am proud of myself because I predicted this and I had no idea. But I had said that I thought Zane was going to die because I felt like that was, like, just set up that, like, I don't know. I feel like we need some kind of tragedy. And after this happens,
also, we needed some reason for them to be resolved in their love triangle, the actual love triangle with Tally and David and Zane, because she'd never been forced to, like, choose between the two of them, really. Like, there's, like, a brief conversation at the end of the last book, but, like, she didn't have to choose because then she got brought back to the city. Like,
And also,
like, she's never had to choose before because they've never all been at the same place with the same memories at once.
Yes, because, yeah, their brains, well, specifically Tally's brains, has just constantly been being messed with. But so now that Zane is dead, this is where I was thinking, well, this means that Tally's, you know, either going to end up dying herself, she's going to end up alone, or at least at the end of this book, like, not be with anyone, or maybe she could go back to David. And while I was, like, coming up with these options, I was thinking about this because, you know, spoiler alert for Divergent, we obviously know what happens to Triss at the end. Not good.
Nope.
I was thinking,
so bad they couldn't make it into a movie.
I was thinking that right now where we were in the book, if Tally died at the end, I don't think that I would have minded it because Zane is dead, and it seems to be how she's expressing it, that he kind of was her end game and who she really cared about and cared for. So she might not want to go on without him once she's, like, served her purpose of, like, resolving the war and everything. And I'm not saying she's going to commit suicide, but, like, if she were to get killed in battle or something, I feel like that wouldn't be the end of the world like it was in Divergent when Triss was just suicidal for no reason throughout the series and she leaves Tobias behind. I mean, also how she dies is just stupid. But again, if you want to hear that, listen to the Divergent episodes. what is it? Allegiant is the last book.
Yeah. Also, it helps, like, Zane dying helps her realize that the only way that she can, like, what she can do, like, she, when Shay comes in, it rescues her, and, like, we have to go turn ourselves in. You have to stay uncured so that we can prove that we did it, like, as specials. And Tally's like, I don't know, like, maybe there's a better way. Like, maybe we can stop Dr. Cable on our own. Like, you know, she's, like, resisting it. And then when Zane dies, she's like, this is what's going to happen if there's an actual war. Like, she's like, I don't care what they do to me. Like, not
which
in
it makes her, it makes her being able to, like, self-sacrificial because she no yes. longer has somebody that she cares about waiting for her to get back.
Correct.
Like, you know what I mean? So that's where, like, to me, it did strengthen her character and give her the strength yes. and courage to be able to do it because she had nothing to lose. And that's why if she would have died at the end, it wouldn't, like, it would have meant something and it wouldn't have, like, ruined the series or ruined the book because it would have made sense.
And she wouldn't have left someone behind that, like,
that she cared, that she cared about, too, because, I'm sure David and her friends would have been upset, but, like, for her, if it's, like, she wanted to be with Zane, he's already gone. So.
Yeah.
I just thought it was, like, an interesting comparison because how, like, Divergent just completely failed that. Which, again, you can hear, at least, I definitely remember the rant I had at the end of Allegiant about how I felt about it. Definitely listen to that episode if you want to hear my opinion on that.
I kind of want to go back and listen to it. I don't listen to the episodes after we make them. But I'm like, we've been ragging on Divergent so much lately. I want to know what we actually said in the moment.
Yeah.
I feel like our hatred of Divergent has also, like, grown over time. Like,
I mean,
it's become the stuff of legends in throwback paperback. Like, in the throwback paperback multiverse, like, our hatred of Divergent just grows every day in a way that, like, it's gone beyond when we didn't like it the first time.
Well, I think it's interesting how you said how you were talking to your friend about how they, like, didn't even remember if they finished it, which they must not have, because you'll never forget. You'll never forget the first time you read the ending of the Divergent series because it's that bad and that horrible.
Yeah,
but
I agree.
I will say, I mean, I do remember even when we read it for the show, if the ending would have been different, literally the last, it's like 10 chapters, I would be okay with the series. For me personally, the ending is what ruins the book for me. There's obviously other issues, like I said. The fact that Triss is, like, unreasonably suicidal, which I know has to do with, like, losing her mom, I guess. Like, her mom dies in the book. Like, it still just, like, doesn't, like, it to me, it doesn't pan out. Or it just makes her a dislikable character that it's, like, I mean, who wants to read about somebody who's just, like, willing to give up when, like, you have people who care about you and you care about... It's just not as strong of a, it's not as strong, as strong of a lead. Like, you know, Katniss only is willing to sacrifice herself for other people. Like, I don't know. It's just, it was different how it came across.
Yeah.
Because I guess Katniss does do the same thing with, like, Peeta when they go in for catching fire into the second Hunger Games. And she's like, he's making it out. Like, I'm not making it out kind of thing.
But, like, she's not going to, like, go and kill herself. Like, she's not... Her plan is,
yeah, I think,
like, her plan is to keep Peeta alive. Like,
whereas I think Triss becomes reckless. She becomes reckless, like, she doesn't care for her life.
Yeah.
Which, again, is, like, not
though,
a, like, strong character
honestly,
trait.
Honestly, those books, the characters all are not that great. Like, when they find out that Tobias is, like, what is it, like, cure Divergent or not, like, whatever it is, like, Triss is, like, the real deal, and, like, Tobias
oh,
is
oh, we
just,
talked
like,
about this, I think, in the last episode, the one before, about how when Tobias finds out that he's not actually Divergent, like, with the special genes. Oh, well, let's not. The thing that ruins Divergent is, again, the fact that it's all simulation.
The third book just ruins it. Like, it, there's no...
It
there's,
literally ruins it, because I'd say the first two books, also for me, again, why I said, I really enjoyed Divergent because it's not a love triangle. It's a straight-up love story between Triss and Tobias, and that's really nice in the first and second book. And then the third book, everything is just...
A mess.
Thrown in the trash, flushed down the toilet, burned down the house,
okay.
Explode the whole world. It's over.
Okay. So, I want to talk a little more about other series really quickly. So... Zane dies, Shay tells Tally that there's going to be a full war, and so Tally decides she's going to go back to Dr. Cable, and so that she can basically tell Dr. Cable that it was them, so that they don't attack Diego. And I have, the last few days, we're recording, obviously, a couple weeks in advance. It's March, and the Hunger Games movies are leaving Netflix. And so Netflix is like, Charles, Hunger Games movies leaving Netflix. You should watch them before. And I was like, don't have to ask me twice. I haven't seen them that many times, but like I obviously remember watching them when they came out. But so in the Hunger Games, if you remember, Katniss, you know, she literally just like, she doesn't want to kill Peeta, and Peeta doesn't want to kill her at the end of the first game. So they're like, guess we'll just die together, and they get made victors. And this incites rebellion. I say that in quotes because that's not what Katniss was thinking about at all, but other people take it that way. And then President Snow is like, you need to convince everyone that it was just out of love. And I was like, that was always a terrible strategy on his part. Like, to try to...
Well, he knew she was destined to fail.
Yes. And then, like, it's never confirmed in the book or the movies, but it's heavily implied that he pulled strings so that Katniss would end up in the arena in the Quarter Quell. Like, I mean, maybe you feel differently than I do, but, like, it's...
What do you mean, pull strings?
The fact that it's... The tributes are drawn from the victors, like... I feel like that was, like, because of him. Like, it's heavily implied that he did that. But I'm like, by doing that, you just gave people more reason to rebel. And I feel like this doctor...
Well, for him, Snow's trust is in the system, and he's assuming that she'll get killed. He underestimated how the other victors would feel about it and how they all band together. And also the fact of, like, this idea that District 13 has created this rebellion, like, not just within them, but within the capital and other districts. Like, you know what I mean? I feel like, overall, they just underestimated how many people, like, even the victors were, like, in on this rebellion.
Yes. And I feel like that is kind of the same, like, situation with Dr. Cable. Like, I feel like she... Her, like, desire to keep this sort of status quo of her city, like, it's just, like, so untenable. And I feel like her, like, using fake excuses, maybe this analogy worked better in my head, but I feel like her, like...
It's not quite panning out.
Like, I'm, like, I, like, thought about this a lot, and then now it's, like, not really working.
Clearly not long enough.
But I feel like she, like, her, like, using fake pretenses to, like, start a war, I'm, like, the fact that, like...
Are you just trying to say, basically, that you're, like, that's just, when you really think about it, not that great of an idea?
Yes.
I think that's the point, because there has to be flaws in it, otherwise the main characters won't be able to overcome them. Like, you know, it can't be a flawless
plan. It can't be
plan.
An actually functional utopia, because then people wouldn't rebel.
Exactly.
I guess that's what I'm thinking. Like, maybe the rest of my analogy will come to my head, and I'll, like, wake up tonight and in the middle of the night, and I'll be like, oh, I should have said that.
And I'll say also that I think it does make sense for both President Snow and Dr. Cable in this series to kind of underestimate our main characters, because, I mean, to be honest, I kept forgetting, because I think they mentioned it, Tally's only, like, 16 years old. I forgot. I don't know why they thought they were in their 20s.
Yeah, she's acting a full woman.
They're just making such... I mean, one, she's just dating multiple men, like, living her best life. She's having to make serious decisions. She's had, like, 500 plastic surgeries. Now she's a vampire. Could be 100 years old. We would never know. So I just, for me, like, honestly, in this series, I completely forgot that all of our main characters are supposed to be under the age of, like, 18. I did not realize that, or, like, had forgotten about it. And I feel like in the Hunger Games, maybe we're reminded of it more because... Maybe because, like, the Hunger Games, like, it talks about, like, it's only, like, the teenagers or whatever are being reaped and stuff. So, like, maybe I was more conscious, but I don't know. Just, like, near the end of the book, somebody or, like, Dr. Cable, or they say about how Tally is, like, seen as, like, the most dangerous 16-year-old. And I was, like, 16? I just totally forgot what kind of series we were reading, that this is, like, a teen book. But.
Yeah.
Yeah, so either way, I'm just saying, though, that it would make sense they would underestimate, like, basically these kids.
Yes.
you know, when they're grown adults.
Yes.
Who think that they have all the power and are large and in charge.
Okay. Well, thank you for humoring me, dear listener, on my Hunger Games tangent that didn't really work. But there was something. I was watching the movies and it made me think of the books. And it...
That was just the best thing. You know, this analogy made more sense in my head. But once I said it out loud, you're like, wait.
I don't know if this works. Let's just move on.
I helped you out there.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And then, okay, so getting back into what we were talking about before. So if we kind of need proof that Dr. Cable did kind of use this as an excuse, when Tally gets back to the city and she talks to Cable, Cable says, like, yes, I knew it was you the whole time. That, like, I don't think she realizes that Shay was there too, but she knows that it was Tally. I think, didn't she say she found, like, her DNA on something?
Yes.
So she knew that it was Tally who broke in, but she was like, of course I'm going to use it because she just needed the excuse to start the war. And she's like, I'm not going to stop now. Of course not. But then to save the day, Tally is able to stab Dr. Cable with a needle with the cure because I think it's David, because she like briefly meets up with David before she goes back up into the city, and he gives her the cure like for herself, but she's like, I don't need it because she's divergent and she can cure herself. So, well, he's like, just in case. So she decides that she's gonna give it to Dr. Cable. She like tricks her into being able to pricking her and giving it to her, and yeah, then she cures Dr. Cable. Like, it takes a while. And honestly, this was, like, the smartest thing she did the whole series because, I mean, the whole lead-up, I was, like... So, basically, she's, like, rushing into the city and she's, like, trying to get in touch with Dr. Cable because she wants to tell her, you know, that it was her that broke into the building, not the city of Diego. Like, and so she's, like, but she doesn't want to tell just Dr. Cable alone because she doesn't trust her. So, she's, like, she's in a meeting with the city council. She's, like, I want an audience for this. But she can't reach Dr. Cable. She's, like, talking to her secretary. And the secretary is like, oh, well, I'll send you to this empty room. And so Tally just, like, rushes in there. And I was like, I feel like this is a little sketchy. Like, this doesn't make sense. Yeah, I was like,
this is obviously a trap.
A trap. And so she ends up going to this room. And, of course, it's, like, pitch black. There's nobody in there. And just Dr. Cable comes in. So she's not able to, like, tell other people. And that's when Dr. Cable reveals that she already knew that it was Tally who broke into the armory. Blah, 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 blah. So after kind of making that stupid mistake, it was nice to have her, like, come back from that pretty immediately with coming up with this idea kind of on the spot to cure Dr. Cable. So I did like that. I like that twist. Like, I felt like it was very logical and kind of, like, unexpected.
Yes, I agree. I mean, Tally, yeah, it was super smart of her. There's no way around it. Also, we should mention that when she runs into David before going into the city, he's like, wow, you're so great. He's like, even as a special, you're just so wonderful.
As like, always, literally, David just worships the floor she walks on. Literally, like, every time she sees him, he's like,
you're just incredible. And his mom's like, I literally want to kill you. And he's like, Mom, don't say that to my girlfriend.
Oh, yeah. Which, also, I'll say, the thing with Dr. Cable curing her, it was also just, like, really nice because I feel like a lot of the things Tally's done has, like, been on accident, like, and she gets praised, but, like, this is something she actually did. Like, it wasn't an accident. It wasn't for a coincidence. For once, Tally
didn't fall face backwards. I want to use a different word, but obviously we don't swear on this podcast, but she didn't fall face backwards into good luck.
I mean, yeah, I think that's, like, the funniest part so far about the series is, like, she just, like, keeps just randomly doing the right thing, or like things just work out for her, very Serena Vanderwoodson of her, if you know what I mean. Whereas this was some Blair Waldorf scheming, so that was nice.
Yeah, I guess.
And then in another twist, Dr. Cable, well, actually, let me go back. So Tally basically is kind of held in captivity for about a month while Dr. Cable is, like, going through the cure. Because, again, she's special, and they're basically saying she's dangerous. And, like, over time, basically, they're deciding that, like, special shouldn't exist anymore. Like, as Dr. Cable is cured, her, like, greed and, like, need for power, like, diminishes. So she eventually, like, falls out of power. And then they, like, make the decision that, like, special circumstances isn't necessary. And, like, it's not really fair to have people have... like, such incredibly crazy, like, augmentations to their body so that they're, like, vampires. So they're, like, all these...
And also so that they, like, can act above the law. Like, the specials get to do whatever they want.
Exactly. Like, so they decide that they're going to, like, make everyone who's special, like, take that away, unspecialize them, or whatever. So Tally, it seems like, is one of the last people because I guess Tally, maybe since she was, like, a cutter, like, they're, like, extremely dangerous. So, like, top of the line of the specials. So they, like, leave her till the end because they, like, need a specific, like, there's, like, this scene or whatever where, like, the doctors are, like, trying to knock her out and they're, like, worried that it's not going to work on her. So when she's finally getting taken to surgery to become unspecial, this is where the twist comes, and Dr. Cable actually comes to save Tally from getting the surgery. And I was just, like, absolutely not expecting that because it's basically, like, a voice comes over her skin antenna, but, like, she doesn't recognize it, which that didn't, like, make sense to me because, like, I guess maybe if Dr. Cable's voice sounds differently after no longer being special, but doesn't make sense to me why you wouldn't recognize her voice when you've spoken to her.
Yeah, that didn't make a lot of sense to me either.
I know it was the plot device, so, like, we didn't know who it was, but as soon as she was, like, she didn't recognize the voice, and I was like, well, then it has to be a stranger. Because your first thought that it was David, because David was waiting in the Rusty Ruins, basically, like, he had said
that he was, like, would wait for her to come out of the city.
He would wait for Tally, you're not alone, like, kind of insinuating that if she didn't come back with a certain time, he would try to come save her. So my first assumption is that it's David, but as soon as she was like, she didn't recognize the voice, I was like, oh, so this is somebody random. But that was not the case. But either way, it was still a nice twist, but I think the voice recognition thing could have been done differently.
And so basically, Dr. Cable saves Tally from the surgery because Tally is the last special alive. And at least, like, this, particularly this brand of specials that they have in their city that are, like, extra vicious and extra capable, like, those are kind of, like, Dr. Cable's, like, creation. And she's like, I don't want my babies to go extinct. And so Tally, we should mention, like, she's cured herself from the mental problems of being a special, but she still has all the physical superpowers. Like, in a way that the people who've taken the
best of both worlds.
She's got the best of both worlds. You turn it all around and you know you got the best of both worlds. Like, she has the people who have the chemical cure for any of them, like, for the specials, they have good powers, like we mentioned, but they're diminished and they're perfectly normal in the brain. Tally has mentally cured herself and gets to keep all the super physical powers. And Dr. Cable is like, I want my science experiment to live on forever, so you can just go. And so she just, like, lets Tally leave. And, like, you know, the war is prevented because now that Dr. Cable's not ruthless, she's like, I don't think we need to kill a bunch of people. And then she goes to the Rusty Ruins, and David is there, and he's like, oh my god, Tally, I'm so obsessed with you. Do you want to hang out, like, forever?
Yeah, that's literally what he says. No.
Yeah, he's literally like, whatever you're doing next, can I, like, come with you?
Yeah, because, yeah, David's funny.
Is he? I feel like he's, like, a little bit of a sop.
I think it's funny. I think she's got a little sidekick.
Yes, she does have a sidekick, because do you want to talk about the final ending, or should I?
So then at the end, Tally and David decide that they're just going to live in the wild. So they're not going to go to, like, the city of Diego. They're not going to go back to Tally's old city. They're just going to basically be in, like, the uninhabited areas and just focus on protecting the world from destroying itself again like the Rusties did before. Because, again, when we go back to, like, what special circumstances stood for and, like, what Dr. Cable stood for, the reason why they want to be able to control people is to, like, prevent conflict because, as we know in our world today, the reasons why the world is going to end is because people can't agree on anything and people want to fight over things and greed and stuff like that. Whereas when you brainwash everybody to be very submissive and pliable, it's less likely for things like that to happen. So Tally and David basically are going to find a way to, like, balance it out where, like, people have freedom, but, like, they can't just literally do whatever they want. So I'll say this ending, I mean, first of all, to me, it just ended so quickly, basically, because Dr. Cable saves Tally. She, like, escapes the city, runs into David, and then they have this, like, couple-page conversation, and the last.
And they And then they tell Shay, they send Shay a letter, and they're like, we're going to be the specials for the trees. Like,
yeah,
if you Lorax. Cut down too many trees.
The Lorax. The Lorax twins.
They're literally going to be the Lorax. They're like, if you cut down too many trees, we'll come for you. And then, the end.
Yeah, so, she basically sends, the Skintena, voicemail, I guess, to, all the people she knows, letting them know that, that's their plan. And I don't know, also, I just said it, she's like, she's got a mean message sent. It was just kind of weird. And then that's just the end of the book. That's it. So, like I said, it was, a bit anticlimactic. It does wrap it up, I guess. But again, what Hunger Games has that I feel like this didn't was, that idea of hope and, what is the future? Whereas to me, this just seems like a big old question mark. Like, who knows what's going to happen?
Okay.
And
so I have thoughts on why, if you want to finish your thought, but I want to talk about why I think Hunger Games works. That's related to the hope, but different.
Well, just to finish, though, but ultimately, though, this is not the end of the series, so it's really not that big a deal because there is a whole other book to read, which I think, based on my understanding, it's not going to be following Tally. I think Tally is still going to exist in the universe. They're going to maybe mention her because, obviously, she's famous, but it's going to take place, I think, years later, possibly a whole generation later. I'm not 100% sure. We'll find out when we read it, but so that will obviously present us with, what has happened post all of this. So that's how I felt just basically when I finished. I was like, oh, I definitely need more, and I understand why this was not a trilogy.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm excited to read the next one to see whether it gives us resolution or, whatever it gives us. The reason that I think Hunger Games works so well, and I know I've said this at one point, whether it was to you personally or whether on the podcast, is that I feel like the Hunger Games gives us a full world picture of what's wrong, and then gives us a full world picture of how it's going to be fixed. And I don't mean the entire globe, planet Earth, but realistically, what we've gotten in this world is Tally City, the Rusty Ruins, and right next to them.
And Diego.
And Diego. And so it's just kind of it feels like a change is unclear what's at the end. Is the entire world in these systems? Is it just this neighborhood? Because this basically could be the entire landmass of Jacksonville, Florida. And whereas what works in the Hunger Games is that you have this entire, it's the entire North American continent. And
of Panem.
Of Panem. And it's also been defined in the districts also align with things that we recognize. So the South is District 11, which is agriculture, and Appalachia is District 12, which is coal. And it all kind of connects so that when there's a rebellion and you go to each of those places, it builds into something that you can see a whole page turning. When you finish The Giver and you're we met three different random societies, we have no idea how far away or close they are to each other. And then, ta-da, we killed death. Okay. And then, in this, we don't know. I don't know. I feel like this doesn't, because it stayed so insular to one problem, it becomes kind of hard to have a satisfying solution, because once that problem is fixed, it's just done. Matched, for example, that also became a little crazy because then the Rising, or was the Rising? The Rising is part of the original society and they're interwoven. But the problem with the Matched Society was that you don't get a choice in who you marry. Period. Done. And so once that problem was fixed, it felt like there wasn't much more to go off of. And Divergent, they said this is happening all across the country, but it felt like their society, the problem was that they were dividing them into four factions. Once they left the society, they weren't being divided into factions. Problem done. You know? Does that make sense?
Well, Divergent was a whole other switch up because they were talking about good genes, bad genes.
And that was a mess. But,
I would say that probably the closest that came to that was probably the Maze Runner, because I feel like it was really clear, the scorch, the sickness, was spread all over the world kind of thing. And basically, they were using the Maze Runner like the trials is like a way to like find a cure. So I feel like that kind of world building.
Yeah, and I feel like what you're saying is hope too. Like it felt like there was a solution. You're saying is, that was go ahead. Maybe you can explain.
It's able to give the big picture, basically. Yes. So in addition to the zoned in on our main characters and like their specific issues, it's able to take a step back and you're able to see the big picture and how it affects everybody, whether that's a whole country like Panem or the whole world. Whereas what we've gotten so far in this is we know like three towns have been affected and we don't know. It's been mentioned that there's other cities who have their own rules, but like, is there a connection? Like, are they all part of a country? Like, I feel like there's like that centralized idea that it's hard to imagine this on a big picture.
Exactly. It feels like it's hard to imagine this on a big picture. So I feel like it's hard to stick the landing of like change at the end of like reforming the system because you don't know how big the system is. Whereas like in Panem, you understand what the system is.
Yes. Which I will say the only good thing they have going for it is I do feel like they did mention, at least in this like second half, that it seems like most of the cities, if not any of them, don't have special circumstances like how Tally City did.
Yeah.
Because I know they definitely said, like, in Diego, there is no special circumstances. Like, that never existed. So that could be an argument of, like, oh, well, like, this has not been an issue in other places because this didn't exist. And basically, Dr. Cable and her specials were trying to kind of take over other cities or basically try to get all the other cities to conform to what they believe is, like, the right way, which, you know, to do the uglies into the pretties, into the specials, like, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I get, but again, like you're saying, it's still like just isn't that much, which hopefully in the next book with the extras, like that will either go into another society or another city and like show how like this message has spread like throughout a whole country or continent or whatever.
Yes. Thank you for vocalizing what I meant. So that I think that kind of is a good button. Is there anything else you want to say before we wrap up?
No, I think that's it. I mean, I'm still enjoying it, and
me too.
My only complaint is I still wish we could have somehow killed Shay. That would have been the satisfaction I needed, personally. But, you know, it is what it is.
It is what it is. Tally seemed hell-bent on being friends with this girl, even though she really didn't deserve it.
I don't understand. But it is what it is. Toxic friends.
Toxic friendships. Don't keep them around.
So that means that next week we'll be reading the first half of Extras, the last book in the series. So if you read along, you can read chapters 1 through 27.
And if you have predictions, theories, questions, comments, concerns, all that, you can stay in touch with us on the Nerd Party website. You just go to nerdparty.com/contact. You select direct paperback. That'll send us an email. You can also get in touch with the network on Twitter at JordanNerdParty or Facebook.com/NerdParty or Instagram at TheNerdParty. And to find me, I'm at Seashells on Instagram.
And I'm at AsiaBonia on TikTok and at Asia.Bonia on Instagram. If you enjoyed this, make sure that you rate and review the podcast and share it with your friends. And of course, check out the other podcasts on the Nerd Party Network. But make sure you subscribe to us so you don't miss us next week.
Yes, hit that subscribe button and have a good one. We will see you next week.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.